Man, so let me just clarify as we get started tonight that I am not the one on the stage sharing because I have it all together. I am not the one on the stage sharing because I know everything or because I've been to have 10 theology degrees and all that good stuff. I am on the stage because this is the place that God has placed me. And you should be on the stage in your life that God has placed you. And so we should not be comparing ourselves with each other. We should be comparing ourselves with the call and purpose of God in our lives. And so I'm here because I'm being faithful. And I am following the call of God on my life. So tonight, we're going to talk about honorable confrontation. Hashtag, is that an oxymoron? So for all those who aren't sure about the whole hashtag thing, let me just bring some clarity. So on a social media, when you put a hashtag, and there's a reason there's no spaces. So when you hashtag, there's no spaces, and what happens is then if you go, so some of you guys are going to try this for the first time. So if you go into Facebook and you hit search and you put hashtag and then whatever you want to search, what will pull up is everything, every time anyone's done that hashtag, it will pull up everything having to do with that hashtag. So, you know, when we do events, we go hashtag VL church, hashtag VL groups. So if you go type in hashtag VL groups, all the posts, all the photos from that hashtag will all show up right there. So it's a real easy way. So for example, like our central team, if they want to use pictures from all our campuses from Life Group launch, they can go to the whatever hashtag we used and pull up all the pictures. So it's a convenient thing. Now, people get carried away, and it's a joke for some of it, and you just throw all these different hashtags up. So this one's just a joke. So I don't know what'll come up if you search for that. Okay, so it's not an oxymoron, and we're going to find out why. So this is the first part in a two-part, so I'll finish up next week. And we don't have time tonight to give you all the tools, so that's why we'll be here next week. So I'm going to hook you tonight, and then you got to come back next week. So you guys remember a couple weeks ago, sorry, I did it to you again. A couple weeks ago, I talked about a culture of honor. And being a great church, we need to have a culture of honor. And if you didn't get that, go to our app, Victory Life Church, or VL Church in your app store, and you can now get campus messages, our campus or any other campus, in there. And you go to media and all that. So that message is in there. Pastor Frankie's messages will be in there. And the notes are also in there for message notes, so you can pull that up for tonight as well. So we talked about a culture of honor. So in a culture of honor, conflict is inevitable and unavoidable. Because remember, we talked about when you get irked, which I found out I spelled wrong. When you get, they weren't irked about it though, don't worry. I appreciate the feedback, actually. I don't want to spell something wrong on the screen. I'm a C, and so that's important to me. But when you get irked or when you get frustrated or somebody does something that maybe it's not even an offense thing. Maybe it just bothers you. We are committed. We are in covenant together, and we are committed to relationship. And so in order to stay in relationship, if we don't handle that, whether it's in our own hearts or with that person, then it will create a blockage for our relationship. And it will. And over time, it gets worse, not better. So in a culture of honor, conflict is inevitable and unavoidable. When there is conflict in a relationship, we can, one, ignore it, two, accept it, and you can see that number three is highlighted, or we can confront it. Ooh, confront. Oh. So I know that word to some people equals maybe a lot of imagery. Or maybe when you saw the word on the first screen, confrontation, it really, like you cringed on the inside. Or there may be some people who, like, that means something really bad. And so I don't want to, like, bring up painful memories to you. That's not my goal. But I'm just going to recognize the fact that there are people in here who confrontation to them may have meant something that was harmful. It may have meant things were thrown. It may have meant verbal abuse. It may have been something very unhealthy. And so I just want to clarify that I'm not talking about something that's unhealthy, okay? And I want us to learn, and I say us, because I'm in the process of learning too, but I want us to learn how to do this in a healthy way, because we're about building healthy churches that are growing people in Christ. So Bill Hybels said, the mark of community is not the absence of conflict, it's the presence of a reconciling spirit. If we want to have community, no. We want to have community. I know we do. And in order to do that, it's not the absence of conflict that creates community. It's a reconciling spirit. We have to have that heart that we, and it's hard, guys. I know it's hard. Conflict is hard. Confrontation is hard, but it's worth it. Because in order for us to have community, in order for us to have relationships that are deeper than how's the weather and surface level, then there's going to be conflict. You're going to do something that somebody doesn't like. I'm going to do something that you don't like. You may do something that I don't like. And what am I going to do with that? How am I going to deal with it? In a culture of honor, we value healthy relationships enough to engage in honorable confrontation. Unresolved conflict rapidly erodes the safety and connection in relationships. Unresolved conflict erodes. Unresolved conflict erodes. I'm trying to get your brain to shift. That's why I'm repeating myself. In a culture of honor, we value healthy relationships enough. So the value that we place on a relationship can be seen by the whether we avoid conflict or not. And listen, guys, I know we say things. I say things. I have said things. And sometimes we say things and the things we do are different. They're not incongruent, right? We have incongruency, but we really want what we say. But in order for our lives to be congruent, what we really want has to be what we actually do. We have to do the hard things. You don't want what's easy anyway. You want what's hard. Some of you are like, no, I don't. I said that today in a meeting, and somebody said, does it have to be that hard, though? It just depends on how much results you want, how deep you want to go. How powerful you want it to be. In a culture of honor, we confront behavior that threatens the health of the relationship. So if there is something that threatens the health, we have to confront it. There is a line between healthy confrontation and unhealthy contention, right? We're not talking about unhealthy contention. And some of you, when we started off, you may have had some memories, you may have had some thoughts, or maybe some past experiences that was this. Unhealthy contention. I don't know why I can't say that. But what we want to talk about is healthy confrontation and what that looks like, okay? So let's walk through it. So we're going to start out with Matthew 18. Got a lot of scriptures tonight. Matthew 18, 15 through 17. If your fellow believer sins, in the KJV version it says trespasses. I like that word because it gives us a better picture of what that means, trespasses. And actually, if you look at that word trespass, it's to commit a trespass, to enter unlawfully upon the land of another. So we enter unlawfully. Sorry, you guys are reading the screen, so I had to switch it. When you unlawfully go on somebody's land, so when you violate a relationship, you say something to someone that you didn't have the relational capital to say to them, right? Trespassing. To make an unwarranted or uninvited incursion. It's a real good example, right? So trespass, that's why I like that word. If your fellow believer sins or trespasses against you, you must. So you see how this is highlighted in big letters? You must. We have to remove the option. We have to, because we'll take the other option. We will. I'll take the other option. It's easier. You must go talk to someone that you can trust about it and vent to them. That way they can also feel like they have been sinned or trespassed against. Oh, we got shaking heads in here. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the MYV version. The my version. The scapegoat version, right? The version we give ourselves when we read things and we're like, yeah, right? If your fellow believer sins against you, you must go talk to someone that you can trust about it and vent to them. That way you can also, that person can also, like, that's not the way, the reason you do it, but that's what happens. That person now feels like they've been wronged. Or if that person's your friend, which is most likely, then they're going to feel like they need to protect you. And so they're going to not be happy with that person. All right, so let's see what it really says. Let's try again. If your fellow believer sins against you, you must go to that one in front of others as witnesses to prove that you did the right thing. Sorry, it's actually the MYV version again. Okay. All right, so let's try again. If your fellow believer sins against you, you must go to that one privately and attempt to resolve the matter. If he, I put in parentheses, or she, I put those in there just to make sure it's clear. We're talking about everyone. If he or she responds, or in the Amplified, I like it, it says listens and pays attention to. Right? So let's know what we're talking about when we say responds. Listens and pays attention to. Your relationship is restored. Awesome. But it doesn't always work out that way, right? So what do you do when it doesn't work out that way? But if his or her heart is closed to you, then you can break the relationship and avoid that individual. If you are still uncomfortable being around them, you can join a different church altogether and try again. Oh, I'm sorry, that's the MYV. Did y'all catch it? That's the MYV version. That's what some people do. Not you guys, but some people. Okay, so last time, all right? If your fellow believer sins against you, you must go to that one privately and attempt to resolve the matter. If he or she responds, listens, and pays attention to you, your relationship is restored. But if his or her heart is closed to you, then go to him or her again, taking one or two others with you. Now, we're not talking about that you went and invented to them and you told them how you were right and they were wrong. Right? We're not talking about ganging up on people. Let's make that clear, right? That's not what we're talking about. I'm going to get ahead of myself, so. You'll be fulfilling what the scripture teaches when it says, every word may be verified by the testimony of two or three witnesses. And if he or she refuses to listen, then share the issue with the entire church, so everyone will know that you are justified for leaving and going to another church. Sorry, that was MYV. I know. That's it. I won't do it anymore. Okay. No, that's not it either, right, guys? You guys know that. This is what it really says. You'll be fulfilling what the scripture teaches when it says, every word may be verified by the testimony of two or three witnesses, and if he or she refuses to listen, then share the issue with the entire church in hopes of restoration. That's the key right there. In hopes of restoration. So that gives us clarity of why we're going to two or three other people. Because we want to restore the relationship. Not because we're mad and we're hot and that person did me wrong. No, we want to restore the relationship. So I'm not going to vent or to gossip. I'm going because I want this relationship restored. It's important to me. It's valuable, right? Not valuable that I feel like I've been justified or whatever. It's for restoration. So if he or she still refuses to respond, If he or she still refuses to respond, disregarding the fellowship of his or her church family. So don't be that person. Someone comes to you and y'all can't find any agreement, can't find any ground, right? You're still disagreeing. Then you go and get two or three others. And then you go to that person and they still are not moving, not budging. They're disregarding the fellowship of their church family. That's what they're doing. They're saying, my way or whatever I believe about this situation is more important than my family. Ouch. So you must disregard him, and we'll talk about this word, disregard, as though he or she were an outsider on the same level as an unrepentant sinner. Now, here's the thing, guys. When I first read this right here, my mind thinks a certain way. And let's see if yours does too. If he or she refuses to respond, disregarding the fellowship of his or her church family, you must disregard him or her as though they were an outsider, as the same level as an unrepentant sinner. Man, disregard them. That's the way I look at it. I'm like, wow, like we're just going to throw them to the curb, right? That's kind of what your initial response is, like, whoa. So we're just, well, but think about it. And think about, that's why I highlighted this. Unrepentant sinner. Is that what we do to the sinners out there in Brownwood? No, we form a street evangelism group and we go knock on their doors and we tell them about the gospel of Jesus and we pray for them and we love on them. That's what we do to the unrepentant sinners, right? So this isn't about throwing them to the curb. This isn't about, well, we've gone to them three times. They're still disregarding it. So boom, you're out of here. No, this is showing us how to guard our heart. And we're going to talk more about that next week. But what it's saying is it's talking about we're family and someone trespasses against you in the family and you go to them, can't work it out. Then you get two or three others and you go to them, mature Christians, right? Don't get the baby Christians who will take your side, mature Christians. And you go to them and you can't work it out. And then you tell, okay, so the whole tell the whole church thing, the way we would do that is the leadership of the church. Okay, so we're not going to be like, you're not going to come to me and whisper at me like, hey, during announcements, can you tell everybody about this person, what they did, so that we can get that checked off the list? That's not what we're going to do. bring it to the leaders, the pastors, right? The lead team of the church. And then we'll see if we can work it out. That's what we'll do. And we can look at different translations and all that, but I'm just going to clear that up. We don't have to go into all that. So think about it like this. Think about it like relationship and who you allow in your circles. So Danny Silk talks about your circles of relationship, right? And you have your inner circle, which is God. God should be in that inner circle, right? And then you go to the next circle, which is probably your spouse, for those who have a spouse. For others, it may be a family member, close friend. And after we go to our spouse, we have our kids. And after kids, you might have different family, or maybe you have a super close best friend, whatever, and you keep going, right? The circle gets bigger and bigger and broader. And this person that's out here in the circle isn't, that relationship is not as high of importance to me. And so if this person out here wants my time and attention, but it's going to violate the time and attention to my spouse, well, that person doesn't get it, right? Look up Danny Silk if you want to. It's really good. He's got a whole life academy. But so with that in mind, here's what that's saying. That person was at a circle that was further in, right? And they just got bumped out to a circle further out. So you're refusing to hold this relationship as valuable. And so now I'm moving you out to the circle and I'm going to treat you like a sinner. Right? They're being immature. And so now I'm going to treat you like a sinner, which is not like a jerk. I'm going to treat you like you need more love of Jesus. I need to treat you like a baby. And don't take that the wrong way. I mean that like sincerely, not like, I'm going to treat you like a baby. No, like I mean that sincerely, the way you would care for a baby, right? So we're talking about move them out of that place where they once were. And that's I know that may sound harsh, but that's guarding your heart. Okay, I'm not hardening my heart. I'm not hardening it and saying, oh, no, you'll never get back in here. No, I'm saying if this person comes back and says, man, I'm so sorry, I totally messed up. Well, then they can work their way back in. I'm not just going to fling the door open. They're going to work their way. They now have an opportunity to work their way back in. Does that make sense? Okay. So let's look at, biblically, unrepentant sinner, and it's in the same passage. We're just going to go up the next section up in Matthew 18, 11. This is 11 and 12. The Son of Man has come to give life to anyone who is lost. Think of it this way. If a man owns 100 sheep and one lamb wanders away and is lost, won't he leave the 99 grazing in the hillside and go out and thoroughly search for the one lost lamb? And if he finds his lost lamb, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 who are safe. Now you should understand that it is never the desire of your heavenly Father that a single one of these humble believers should be lost. So what do we know about the way God treats them? He doesn't want a single one to be lost. So we're not disregarding them and going, you're out of here. We don't want a single person to be lost. But that relationship's going to look different now. And I'm going to treat you differently, not in a bad way. But remember, that person moved themselves out to that spot. And so it just changes the dynamic of the relationship. But I'm still going to love them, and I'm going to still pour the love of Jesus on them. Okay? This is right before the scriptures we just read. And there's, I'm going to show you another cool thing. Okay, so let's talk about what's at stake, right? Because we need to understand clearly what is at stake if we don't do this well. Matthew 18, 18 and 19. So this is after those first section of scriptures we read. Receive this truth. Whatever you forbid on earth will be considered forbidden in heaven. And whatever you release on earth will be considered to be released in heaven. Again, I give you an eternal truth. If two of you agree to ask God for something in a symphony of prayer, my heavenly Father will do it for you. Isn't that interesting? What did we just talk about two or three doing? Going to the one who you couldn't resolve privately. First you go in private, then you take two or three. Now we're talking about two or three agreeing and forbidding things. Isn't that interesting? Right after that is this. And then it goes on. For whoever, wherever two or three come together in honor of my name, I am right there with them. Later, Peter approached Jesus and said, how many times do I have to forgive my fellow believer who keeps offending me? Seven times? I didn't put the rest of these because y'all know it. Jesus is like, nah. Not Peter. I say you're close, but you're not even close. Okay? So how many times? So if somebody trespasses against me and I go to them in private and then I take two or three and go to them and then I go and tell the pastors, the leaders of the church, and we go to them and it still don't work out. And then they repent, or maybe it works out in there. Right? Maybe you went to them in private and it worked. And they do it again. How many times do I have to forgive them? Rest of your life. Let's just cover it. Okay? Like, we're going to keep forgiving. Now, does that mean they're going to stay in? This is where we get confused, right? They're in a different circle. Okay? If you come and you trespass against me over and over and over again, guess what? We can still have a relationship, but you're going to be out here. Okay? You want to be in here, you got to build trust. Okay? You got to grow and mature in order to be closer in, right? That's smart. That's wisdom. That's guarding your heart. But see, the temptation is to harden your heart. Oh, no, you're gone. You ain't getting back in. That's not God. That's the enemy. And he's using it against you. Okay. So why is this so difficult? Okay, so did I get you guys warmed up? Because the punch is coming. You guys got your Vaseline on your eyebrows? Okay, this is why this is so difficult. So this is the beginning. We've been reading Matthew 18. This is the beginning of Matthew 18. At that time, the disciples came to ask Jesus, who is considered to be the greatest in heaven's kingdom realm? Jesus called a little child to his side and said to them, learn this well. Unless you dramatically change your way of thinking, and Frankie's been teaching you the past 2 weeks how to do that, unless you dramatically change your way of thinking and become teachable and learn about heaven's kingdom realm with the wide-eyed wonder of a child, you will never be able to enter in. Whoever continually humbles himself or herself, to become like this gentle child who's the greatest one in heaven's kingdom realm. And if you tenderly care for this little one on my behalf, you are tenderly caring for me. Keyword, continually humbles. Why is this so difficult? Y'all already know, right? Okay. Proverbs 13:10. Arrogance leads to nothing but strife, but wisdom is gained by those who take advice. Listen, guys, we all, every one of us, have pride somewhere. And if there's one among us who excels in humility, then let's go and rub up against them, and let's listen to them, and let's learn from them. Because pride is what got Satan kicked out of heaven, and he's still using it to cause people to stumble and fall every day. And he's using it in the church. And we have to use wisdom. And we have to identify where in my heart am I arrogant. Did they really just say that to me? Oh, nuh-uh. I'm a child of God. You ain't saying that to me. Come on, sister. I know who I am in Christ. I read Dwayne's book. I got my identity down. You ain't talking to me that way. Hey, listen, we can be confident in our identity without being prideful and arrogant, without thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought, right? So how do I identify arrogance? Because listen, do you guys remember this quote? Without awareness, we tend to be driven by distraction amid habit and reactivity. Without awareness, we tend to be driven by distraction amid habit and reactivity. We don't know what we don't know. We're not aware of what we're not aware of. And that's why we have to be in relationship and in community with each other, because people can go, hey, when you said that, you sounded like an arrogant jerk. I need people in my life to tell me that, because I know from experience and from people telling me and self-awareness that I look like I'm mad. And I ain't mad. I'm just normal. What's wrong? Nothing. I got to remember to lift my eyebrows and smile so people don't think I'm mad. Like, that's just one example. But same thing goes for, because I'm a confident person, people can think I'm arrogant. I have to be aware of that. So, how do we be aware? Brothers, if anyone is caught in any sin, you who are spiritual, that is, you who are responsive to the guidance of the Spirit. I like how it defines that in the Amplified. What does spiritual mean? Not that you get a word every single time we open up the mic. It's you're responsive to the guidance of the Spirit. You're teachable. Are to restore such a person in a spirit of gentleness. Not roughness, right? Gentleness. Not with a sense of superiority or self-righteousness. Let me help you because I'm so good at this, bro. Keeping a watchful eye on yourself so that you are not tempted as well. Because listen, if we think that we're superior, we'll be tempted as well. Pride comes right before a fall. Carry one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the requirements of the law of Christ. That is the law of Christian love. For if anyone thinks he is something special, when in fact he is nothing special except in his own eyes. Oh, that one hurt. No, I'm a child of God. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You sure are, and it's only because of Jesus. I'm going to be confident in Jesus and who he's made me, not in me. He deceives himself. So what do? We deceive ourselves. Why? Because we're not aware. And if we go through life unaware, we're going to face things we shouldn't have to face. We're going to walk down paths we shouldn't have to walk down, and we're going to have consequences that we don't want. But each of you must carefully scrutinize his own work, examining his actions or her actions, attitudes, and behavior. Carefully scrutinize. Oh, I'm getting convicted. Okay. And then he or she can have the personal satisfaction and inner joy of doing something commendable without comparing himself or herself to another. For every person will have to bear with patience, his own burden of faults and shortcomings for which he alone is responsible. So here's your next step. When you are trespassed against, when you feel wronged, when you feel like somebody said something to you, they did something to you, they said something in front of somebody else, whatever it is, they didn't invite you to something, they left you out of something, journal your frustration. It's just one step. For some people, it's probably easy. For some people, it's probably really hard. If you're a guy and you're like, I ain't journaling, that's for women. Just get a piece of paper and scribble on it. Like, get rid of the word journal. Write it down. Don't let something stop you. But journal your frustration, because what you will learn when you do that will be amazing. Because oftentimes, the things that we're upset about is not even what somebody else did. It's that something lacking in ourselves. Now, that doesn't mean always, okay? Because people do say things they shouldn't. Sometimes we don't have people smarts, and we just say stuff. And if it's an I, then they verbally process. Sometimes they say stuff, and they're like, ooh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. So I don't want you to feel like I'm like weighing the scale over here. Like no one ever does anything wrong, it's always us. I'm not saying that, okay? We're going to talk next week about what to do when someone does do something for real. But the first step is not in your emotion, in your anger. I just have scriptures flash through my head. In your anger to go and do something. Your first step is to be like Jesus and you weave a whip. What did Jesus do when he got angry? He weaved a whip. And I don't have much experience in whip weaving, but I don't think you whip one out in 5 minutes. I mean, I don't know if Jesus had like a sack on his side where he had whip weaving material. Like he probably had to go get some. I don't know. I doubt he carried that with him. So he had to go get some material and he had to weave a whip. And he was probably much more skilled at it than we are today. But it took time. And he had to think about what he was going to do. He had to make a decision so he didn't sin in his anger. So what do we need to do? We're going to weave a whip. We're going to go right. We're not going to go vent to somebody else so they can be mad about it too. We're going to first scrutinize ourselves. What did I do? What is my part in this? Did they really intend to say it like that to me? Or is there something in me? Is there some kind of hurt or pain in me that when they said that, it hit that pain and it caused me to react that way? Let's scrutinize ourselves first, okay? And then next week, we'll learn how to walk that out in real life. Sound good? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. You are a good God. And your word is so true and it's so good. And your word is useful for teaching and for correction and for everything in life. And we thank you for that, God. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would take this word and that everyone here tonight would chew on it and they would think about it. And they would digest it, and then it would come up, and they'd chew on it again so that you can reveal things to them. God, because we want to be a great church. God, we want to be an awesome bride. We want to be a great church. And in order to be a great church, it takes community and relationship. And it's unavoidable. Conflict is unavoidable. And God, we want to do it well. We want to do it successful so we can have health and it's worth it. Because deep relationships in a family that doesn't break up, a family that sticks together no matter what, is worth it. Because your church is the sole way that you have chosen to change and impact the entire world. And we know that if we can be a great church, then our city will be changed. It'll be revolutionized. And the cities around us, the communities around us will be changed. So we thank you for that, God. God, if there's anyone here I thank you, Father God, for anyone here that may be just having flashbacks to times in their life when there was confrontation, there was conflict, and it was harmful and it was hurtful to them. God, I pray that, Lord, they would find someone. They would get help to get healed from any hurt they have in their heart, from unhealthy contention, from even verbal abuse or physical abuse. I thank you, God, for healing in Jesus' name, that they're going to be able to release that to you. They're going to be able to walk through forgiveness so that they can be healed and made whole. And they can move forward instead of the enemy holding them back from what you've created them for, and that's relationship. God, we thank you for that. Lord, I just thank you for your protection over us as we go out, as we drive and in wet weather. I just thank you for your Psalms 91 covenant protection and angels that surround us and keep us safe and protect over our homes and our properties and this land and building from any kind of flooding in Jesus' name. And God, we just honor you and thank you. You are so good and you're so faithful. And we just love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you guys need prayer, our prayer, awesome prayer team will be down here for you to connect with. And we'd love for you to connect with them for anything, any prayer needs you might have. So we love you guys and we'll see you Sunday.